Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment, and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. So Paul left Athens, and he came to another powerful city of its day, and he came to the city of Corinth. He is still in Europe, he is still in Greece, Macedonia as it was then called, or Greece as we now call it. And there in Greece he had visited a number of very significant cities, and we know that he had, by his presence there, in preaching the gospel, established a number of churches and gathered a number of the Lord's elect. He had been in Philippi, where he had met Lydia, and the Philippian jailer had been converted. He had been in Thessalonica, and from there he had travelled to Berea and to Athens, and now he goes to Corinth, where he is to spend the next 18 months preaching the gospel. Do you see how busy the apostle was? Do you see how committed he was to his labours? How engaged he is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a dedicated man as to his service, but it also appears that the apostle had taken another initiative at this stage, which is not immediately obvious from the text as we read it, because it seems as if the apostle had purposefully begun to spread the energies of the little group of missionaries that were travelling with them. Because here we discover in verse 5 that there is a reference to Silas and Timotheus coming from Macedonia. Now, that doesn't mean that they had come from where they were. Remember, the apostle was separated from them when he went to Athens, because they came to Athens and met him there. We learned that at the end of the previous chapter. And it seems as if Paul then divided the group, and he personally went to Corinth, and he sent Silas and Timothy back to the churches, or at least some of them, that they had previously visited. We learn in the letter to Thessalonica that Timothy at least, and perhaps Silas with him, although he's not mentioned, had been sent back at that stage to Thessalonica. Perhaps just to convey a message or to take some information or to see how the believers were doing there. And again, that shows us the way in which the apostle was thinking strategically about the work upon which he was embarked. There's a lesson there, a lesson for the church and a lesson for the people of God in the way in which we go about the service of our Saviour. In Corinth, the apostle meets a couple who just appear on the scene. We don't know where they come from, really. There's not been a mention of them before. We know that they come from Pontus, at least, which is where Aquila was born. And we know also that they had travelled from Rome because there had been a little bit of a blowback in Rome. It appears because of the Jews. The Jews appear to have been a cantankerous bunch wherever they went. And it seems as if there had been trouble in Rome, partly because of the Jews, and the Caesar at that time had rid Rome of the Jews. And consequently, here we discover Aquila and Priscilla arriving in Corinth and setting up shop in Corinth, where they were tent makers, and presumably as Jews attending the synagogue also. And Paul meets them and he joins with them. He becomes self-supporting during his stay in Corinth by returning to a craft that he had as a tent maker. And that shows again how even in those days there was an awareness that while he was an extremely accomplished theologian and had been taught as a Pharisee and had committed to him the wisdom of the Jewish religion and was regarded highly as a teacher and respected insofar as he had been given an ear in every synagogue that he had entered into. It didn't last for long in many cases, but he had at least that weightiness of character as he preached to those people. Nevertheless, he was also capable of maintaining himself in a relatively low esteem job where he could earn for himself and for his companions sufficient to get by. And so he began to tent make. And he goes on the Sabbath day into the synagogue, and there he reasons about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reasons both to Jews and proselytes. That's the reference to the Greeks there. And obviously some were persuaded, and we discovered that there was a number in verse 4 who believed the gospel. And we can see how, again, the apostles' technique, the apostles' plan in going into these places often bore fruit, as he was able to preach the gospel and tell these Jews and Jewish converts that the one that they were waiting for, the Messiah that they were looking for and anticipating, had indeed come, and that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching them from the Old Testament scriptures that this one Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And when the friends reunited here in Corinth, Timothy and Silas came back, it seems as if the apostle re-intensified his preaching there in the city. And he spoke powerfully of Christ. And then it seems the Jews started to react more aggressively against him. And from this time, it seems that perhaps a split had took place or had taken place. And Paul no longer goes to the synagogue. It may well be that he had been ejected. It may well be that there had been a disagreement within the synagogue itself. And he leaves and he enters into a house beside the synagogue. He seems even to have moved out of the home of Aquila and Priscilla at this time and moved into this house with a man called Justus. It's just an interesting observation, and I don't know whether there's any absolute support for it, but there is a suggestion that this man Justus may actually have been Titus, whom the apostle later sends out as a preacher. but that is just a conjecture, but there is some support for it, it appears. And so here we see that the apostle is being more isolated and alienated there in the city, and pressures are beginning to rise, and we'll discover a little bit more about that on another occasion, because he is taken again before the magistrates in the town. But the two things that I want to leave with you from this passage this morning are these. In verses 9 and 10, very important verses and very significant verses, because while there were many, including in verse 8, we discover Crispus and his family, who was indeed the ruler of the synagogue. So there was a big disruption in that synagogue in Corinth. And the ruler believed, and it seems as if at this stage, at this juncture, there was about to be some serious violence perpetrated. And the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision and said, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And here are the two things. One is this, that the Lord knows exactly what is happening in every situation. And here the Lord drew close to Paul. At that moment when he may well have been thinking, my work here is over, my time here is done, as has been the pattern in these other Greek Macedonian cities, now they are starting to rise violently for the sake of the community, for the sake of the testimony, for the sake of the believers here. It's now time for me to move on. But the Lord had another plan. He said, "No, Paul, this time you stay. This time, for the next 18 months, I want you to preach boldly in this city." And so the Lord was aware of the circumstances, and the Lord personally came in a vision. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send another preacher. He didn't lay an impression on the minds of Titus and Silas, and they said, "Look, let's take a vote, and you're beaten 2-1. No, the Lord came and spoke to him. And there's a loveliness about that, about the personal fellowship and interaction there with the Lord and the apostle. That impression was so laid upon him in the vision that the Lord said to him, "Paul, you stay put and you preach boldly. And here's the second point, for I have much people in this city." You see, again, the Lord's business is our business. And the Lord had people in Corinth that he was going to call. And why should it take 18 months to do that, Lord? Because this is my plan and this is my purpose. Why can't they all come now? Why can't they all believe the first time they hear the gospel? Because this is how it's to be. And so we are servants of the Lord, and we take upon ourselves to do the will of our God. And the Lord was preserving men and women, perhaps, who'd never heard the gospel. Men and women who had never heard about Jesus. And yet there they were, living in that city. It was a debauched city. It was a wicked city. It was a sensuous city. It was full of idolatry, and it was full of physical wickedness of every kind. And yet there the Lord had his little ones. And it's a lovely thought to realize that the Lord has his people. And where he sets up a preacher and where he sets up a testimony, it is to the end that he gathers his people in. Remember that. That's why we are here. That's why there is a Sovereign Grace Church here in town when there isn't in so many other places. Because the Lord has his people in the city. I believe that. And as we continue to preach and maintain that testimony, the Lord will gather to himself such as should be saved. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.